Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Booksy Washington Speaks from the African American Family Room Forum. Today's date is June 30th, 2018, and I'm your co-host here, supporting our host and moderator, Professor Marshall Washington Cavendish Bowie. And certainly my name is Halim Dreambuilder, Doctor of Self-Esteem, your host. Co-host this evening. Now, tonight's topic is going to be with the increasingly dangerous climate in today's public schools. Is homeschool a better option than public school system? I'm going to repeat that again. With the increasingly dangerous climate in today's public schools, is homeschooling a better option than the public school system? But before we begin, I'd like to open in prayer. Please join me in your silent, as I say in Arabic and English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. The translation of the Arabic recital, English is we seek refuge with God, Allah, away from the curse of devil Satan. With the name of God, Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to God, Allah, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, thy aid do we seek. Show us a straight way, the way on those who thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion of life, success, is not wrath, and who go not astray in their duty and service to you. Amen. Let it be so. Amen. Let it be so. Again, tonight's topic is, with the increasingly dangerous climate in today's public schools, is homeschooling a better option than the public school system? So with that, I'd like to bring our moderator, Professor Ohm. It's all yours, sir.
All right. Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Loud and clear, sir.
Okay. Well, welcome to everyone again. I'd like to reiterate what Dr. Halim said. This is a African American Family Room Forum sponsored by Reality Books under the auspices of Booker T. Washington Speaks. And in this program, we seek to bring our African American family together in a cyberspace type of environment. That's a new buzzword now, which means basically the telephonic slant internet world of virtual communications, where we don't have to actually be in the physical presence of each other to be able to have very, very effective communications. And in some aspects of the medium also, there's the possibility of being able to actually see the participants. We don't have that set up here, but certainly we can talk to each other. We can laugh, joke, disagree, agree. We can feel each other's spirits as though we were sitting together in a typical family room in a nice house. And because it's summertime, we're not going to allude to a real fireplace burning to make us feel comfortable. But we can give the picture of a nice situation where we've got some snacks on a big table in the middle of the room and drinks, non-alcoholic drinks being available for people to refresh themselves as we chat about things that are of interest to our community. So having said that, we're going to ask you, Dr. Halim, to reiterate the topic, and then I've got a few things to say about it while we wait for some other of our panelists and guests to come on. So could you go ahead and reiterate that topic one more time?
Yes, sir. Tonight's topic is, with the increasingly dangerous climate in today's public schools, is homeschooling a better option than public school system?
Very good. Thank you. Again, we're waiting for the rest of our panelists and our guests to come on, but I do want to say something about it now. I am not actually a product of the public school system, with the exception of public college and 1 year of semi-public high school. And the reason why I say semi-public, because the high school that I did attend for 1 year was actually a laboratory training school for the Tuskegee Institute, which was a private state-related university, is a private state-related university in Tuskegee in Macon County, Alabama. And they had a strong education teachers training program there, both for K through 8 and from 9 through 12. Now, the K through 8 students went to a schoolhouse on the campus of Tuskegee. We called it, it was actually called the Chambliss Children's House. I don't know much about the history of it. I need to look into that. But that's where most of the children of the professors and staff members of Tuskegee Institute actually went to school, and they were taught by professionals that were certified teachers and also by practice teachers who were working on getting their teaching education at Tuskegee. And the same thing applied at the high school, only on a higher level. They had professional teachers, certified teachers there, and then they also had practice teachers who were working on getting certified, getting their degree in education. So I went there for 1 year. The rest of the time, I did not go to public schools. I went to private schools, predominantly, in fact, all parochial private schools, Catholic schools. So I'm not very, very familiar with the public school world, but that 1 year in the public school world made me realize that it's a place where there's a lot of possibility, not only for danger. I was attacked and beaten during that 1 year by a grown man who was not a student at the school, but who had come up on the campus for obviously no good reasons. And he attacked me and he beat me. I was too small to defend myself, 13 years old, against this grown man over 21 years old. But I learned then that, you know, the public schools can be fun, but they can be dangerous as well. And now we see people going to school with the intention of killing other students and teachers. And so we are looking at this, and we're just asking the question. We're asking the question, with the increasingly dangerous climate, increasingly every year, it seems like there are more and more students that are the victims of this mass killing that's going on now as an epidemic in the public schools. With the increasingly dangerous climate in today's public schools, is homeschooling a better option than the public school system? Now, I just recently learned, and we want to just take a second and welcome two of our regular panelists. I'm going to continue for just a minute, you all, but we do want to acknowledge your presence. We want to welcome Sister Baena and my dear sister-in-law, Sister Stephanie Benson Runnels. So I'm going to be finished with this little monologue in just a second, and we're going to invite you all to speak to the topic. We want to try to stay on the topic tonight. You know, we have been doing this program now almost 2 years, and we've been pretty well disciplined for the most part to stay on the topic. But you know, when people pick up the telephone and dial in, they have their whole weekend, not necessarily the whole weekend, but the whole previous week behind them. This is the last day of the week, and lots of things happen to us personally in our lives. Lots of things happen in the news that we are affected by, We bring a lot of things to the mic, to the table, so to speak. But we want to keep focus on the topic that we picked for tonight if we can. You know, it might be a little bit hard, and we understand if you be off a little bit, but we're going to try to bring you back because there's a lot that can be said about this topic. Now, as I conclude, I just want to mention about two nights ago, my wife and I were in our home, in our family room, our personal family room, looking at the news, and I saw an ad, we saw an ad, that advertised that there was a organization, I guess a private corporation, that had gotten permission, apparently permission, from the state of Georgia to offer a home schooling curriculum and support system for those people who wanted to homeschool their children. Now, I don't know about other states, but in Georgia, that's legal. In fact, it's also controlled. In other words, if you want to homeschool your child, you have to get with some professional curriculum developer for homeschooling and get a curriculum set up for the grade level that you want to teach and get it approved. You have to be willing to spend money on state-approved textbooks, and you have to send in regular weekly reports to the Board of Education on how many hours your child or children are being taught, how many hours of study time on their own that you give them, how many hours of lecture or classroom-type instruction you give them, what kinds of equipment are you using, etc. So it's not all free-wheeling. You are under some regulations when you participate. But you can do that. And not only that, but there's some limitations on it, but you can also have kids from the neighborhood. There's a limit on the numbers. But if your next-door neighbor and the neighbor across the street want to let their kids come to your homeschooling situation, you can also do that. All of it has to be approved by the Board of Education and accounted for, but it is allowed. So I don't know if other states are that liberal about it, but I know Georgia is. So the question is whether or not that might be a better option in the public school system. Now, unfortunately, and, you know, we keep our, I don't like to say fingers crossed because I'm not into that superstition, but, you know, we keep our prayers very, very focused on hoping that we don't have any of those kinds of incidents here in this area, but we never know. It's happening all over the country, from north, south, east, and west. But for some people, they may say, well, I'll just not take the chance and keep my children at home where they can be safe and they can learn their lessons in a homeschool environment. So enough on my part. What do you think? Let me give it back to you, Dr. Halim, and then pass it on to Stephanie. Sister Banner dropped off for a minute. Hopefully she'll be right back. She's a teacher, and she, I'm sure, when she comes back, will have some ideas about this. But we definitely want to hear from Stephanie. You raise a child and grandchildren, and I'm sure you have some feelings about it. But let's see what you have to say, Brother Dr. Halim.
Yes, sir. This is certainly the idea, topic, increasingly dangerous climate. Now, I myself went to public school, and I understand the dangerous environment in the inner city which I was raised. But I also understand that the private homeschooling is certainly something that can be tailored to individual student needs. And in California, it's something that is quite regular, where that they have these schools being established under nonprofit organizations, and they're providing some extraordinary focus in terms of accelerated learning and producing some high IQ young people, all right, who have went on to college and become, you know, very successful in a lot of different areas. Now, the idea in terms of some of the dangerous parts in the public schools I see is the psychotropic drugs that are given to young people for dysfunctional behavior, which really is not necessarily the true diagnosis, but it's something that is used to create a certain destruction of certain kids whose mental aptitudes are certainly altered, and this becomes something that can affect them in their long-term life. So there's a lot of interest that I have in this topic, and my wife right now, she's assisting my grandson with his own accelerated learning cycle. He's very much a high IQ young man, and in his school, he's kind of not really recognized or understood as well as he's very adult in his conversation and his behavior because of his exposure to what we deal with as a family in terms of teaching, the thinking process and communication, all these things that we want to see our young people emulate. He's reflecting that at a very young age, 10 years old. So the idea is that sometimes public schools can slow you down, and sometimes it can actually assist you in socializing with a certain behavior. Now, that socializing becomes another question. So I'm not going to continue this here topic here in terms of my discussion right now, but I think it's a double-edged sword with a benefit on both ends, and I'll leave it at that point.
I want to allow
others to chime in and say something because I have more to say, but I'll kind of let that string through the conversation as we discuss tonight.
Stephanie, would you like to comment on what said?
Yes, I would. Thank you for having this topic. Hi, everybody. I am Stephanie Benson Runnels. I am all for homeschooling, at least to about 90%. And I say that because I think there's so many more advantages on the one-on-one, but the reason why I left the 10% out, it depends on who's doing the homeschooling. Everyone is not cut out to do that. And some people need more, professionalism to bring to the table. Well, let me go into what I'm talking about. My son, I started teaching him even before he could talk, really. Even when he was a year old, just speaking. I teach him how to spell his name, things like that. But I didn't call it homeschooling. But I did eventually have to do some homeschooling with him. That wasn't my plan. We moved to Virginia, and I didn't have his birth certificate, and they wouldn't let him in school. He was school age, and they told me I had to get it. I sent away for it, and I had not gotten it, and I asked him if I could please enroll him in school, show the proof that I did send away for it, and when it arrives, I bring it there. And they said, no, I need to have it. I had shop records, everything. So this frightened me, and that's when the homeschooling began. So what I did, I would stop other parents with their children, with their young children, see what type of work they were doing. And I'd copy that down, teach it to my son. And then I would go in Kmart and buy all the learning books. And we'd sit there, we'd learn so much. I didn't know that I had advanced my son so much until when he did start school. They said he was at a third grade level in kindergarten. And they tried all these different things from kindergarten on up. He knew it all. And the reason why I say it's not cut out for everyone. So I had a neighbor, which, by the way, everybody used to say, oh, your son is so smart. I would tell him, no, he's regular. I said, these are only things that he's been taught, and any child can learn. But I had a neighbor, and she wanted her child to be taught by me also. And I told her gladly. She brought him over, this little boy named Blue, same age as my son, maybe a year older. and she had a belt with her. And I asked her, what is the belt for? And she stood over the boy at the table, and she said, you better get this answer right. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, that's not how you teach children. Make it fun. Make it like a game. Make it interesting. This boy is petrified. She's standing over there, what that word say, Blue? What that word say? And he was scared to death. And I told her, you're scaring my son, too. You know, and I told her, I can't teach like that. She grabbed him up by his collar and drug him on out the house. That was horrible. But in the same time, when I said I did all this homeschooling and brought him up to a third grade level when he was kindergarten, when I first put him in the school, finally, the teacher told me, he's going to fail. I said, well, you haven't even sat him down to pencil and paper or anything. I said, he's been homeschooled. And she said, well, that's a problem. Because us teachers are trained in certain ways to teach a child. And a lot of times, the parent at home, they think they're doing a good thing, but they're only confusing the child further. And then I thought about the lady with her son, Blue. So sometimes there's a small percentage that probably the parents shouldn't be homeschooling. But also, this took my son a long way, that jump start. You know, like in junior high, he had friends in high school. He would teach them their math. You know, he wind up, well, math was his favorite subject and my worst. He wind up being a account manager. He trains accountants, and he's just, I think we can give any child a start, because a lot of it has to come from home, and there's nothing like that one-on-one that you can give to a child. I also did a lot of volunteering at different schools, especially elementary schools, and just helping that child that's kind of left behind. And it really helps to pull them up in their grades, because they're getting a one-on-one all of a sudden. You know, and sometimes that's what's needed. All children don't have to have a one-on-one, but for those that are, you see them falling behind, that's what they need. Hey, thank you. Okay. Hello? Hello?
Yes, Stephanie, I heard you. This is Helena Dreamville, Dr. Mustafa. Professor, if no one else is on the same thing, I want to say something, if I could, unless you have something to say at the moment.
We do have another guest that just came on, but you go ahead, and then we'll invite our guest to comment. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, I know that the acceleration curve in young people learning is varied on each individual. And so the idea in terms of what is some of the dangerous things that I mentioned, these mind-altering drugs that young people are put on because of certain perception of dysfunction, that becomes something that can cause anger and dysfunction and fights in the school environment, mainly in the public side. But the private school, there's another side where that the specifics of homeschooling becomes specific to what might be a career pathway based on those people who are privileged enough to have family members who themselves are, you know, doctors and lawyers and other professions. So they actually have a specific learning that they're doing and transferring onto their young people, their prodigies. So, you know, it's really a complex situation as to what we're going to do. And I'm coming from the perspective of what is the black and the minority people whom are having difficulty with the young people transitioning to become, adding value to the communities of their culture where they come from. because everything is assimilated and they see it as better on the other side as opposed to doing things responsibly for their community and for their people that they know they can bring benefit to. So that's just some of my thinking right now, and I'll shut up right now and listen.
Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Halim. And now we do want to invite our guests to, I'm sure you have some thoughts. I would think perhaps that you might have some very, very penetrating thoughts on this subject. We all should be thinking about it because of the danger that seems to be increasing in the public schools. And the question for you, we'll reiterate, with the increasing dangerous climate in today's public schools, is homeschooling a better option than the public schools? So we want to invite our guests, and so you'll know we're talking about you. Your area code is 724, and your last three digits of your telephone number are 397. Would you care to comment on that topic that we're discussing in our African-American Family Forum tonight? Okay, perhaps you're not there at the phone, and perhaps you don't want to speak right now, and we understand that. So we'll go ahead, and you can chime in at any time that you feel you'd like to contribute. Well, I just want to say this, not to give another long monologue. You know, I'm an educator. I've taught elementary school, but in a private school situation, and I have taught junior high school, but in a private school situation. And I've taught junior college and now university level. But one thing that I realize at any level of education is a natural instinctive desire for students to learn. Now, a student may not want to learn math. Some do, some don't. A student may not want to learn geography. Some do, some don't. A student may not want to learn the grammar rules in English or history, but they want to learn something. They'll go to school with wide open minds, and whatever's attractive to them in that environment, they're going to attach themselves to it. It could be the latest slang. It could be the latest rap song. When I was a child, we used to like to sing or rhyme this little tune or this little jingle called the Signified Monkey. And during recess, we tried to outmatch each other, trying to remember all of the lines to the Signified Monkey. And my point is that students, when they get in an environment where there's an opportunity for them to be influenced by other people, whether they're other children or teachers or whatever, they're like sponges and their minds are going to open up. And that's all good, and that's one of the good things about the school environment, is if the school environment is positive, it will build the children in many ways, including their character. If their role models have good character, if their teachers have good character. But the problem is not so much the school environment in its best form. And the reason why we are picking this up tonight, the problem is that they might get killed while they're in their classroom happily learning, because it is happening every single year. It's happening with grade schoolers, high schoolers, middle schoolers. So consequently, you know, when we think about the security issue, some parents are saying, I'm not going to take a chance. I love my baby too much, and I'm not even going to take a chance. And especially those that have got some, what I would say, qualification, whether it's academic credentials or just they're just smart people, and they learn easily, like you, Stephanie. I know you've got college behind you, but the truth of the matter is that from the 40-some years that I've known you, I've always felt you an exceptionally intelligent person and well-qualified to teach your
Thank
child.
You.
Well, I'm serious. You know, you're a writer, and you are well-read, well-educated in many ways. So a person with your skills...
Still don't qualify nowadays.
Qualification is not really based on academic credentials for homeschooling, at least not here in Georgia.
Oh, really?
You don't have to teach a certificate in Georgia to homeschool your children. That's one of the good things about this state. Even though it has been ranked low in terms of education based on the statistics of standardized testing, but it has a very liberal attitude when it comes to things that really count. And the homeschooling is one of those areas. And they don't require that the mother or the aunt or the grandmother or the dad or the big brother or sister that's going to do the homeschooling have a teaching degree or teaching certificate. So the point I'm trying to make, and I'll close out my little monologue right now, is that for many people that feel that they have the time to invest, because it does take a lot of time, and they have the facilities, because I think in this situation they require you to have a separate area in the house for this, you know, little classroom. You've got to have a board, whiteboard, and you got to have a TV and a computer nowadays, and you got to have like a little den or study area for this. So those people that have the facilities and have the time and have the commitment, they may be well served in terms of their peace of mind by keeping their child away from what may be a potentially fatal situation. But it depends, I guess, on the parents, because some parents believe their children need to get into that mix with the other kids and romp and run and do the things that they do in the school to socialize. So what do y'all think about that? Stephanie, I'm going to ask you about that first.
Well, I think that that part is important, too, for a child to learn to socialize with other children and other adults, to have that respect for the adult, the teacher figure. And I think that's real important. And what's real, real sad is what Brother Mustafa was talking about. I agree with that, too. See, a lot of the lower income, they started offering them a SSI check or a disability check for their young children. Just take them to the doctor and put them on this medication and say they have ADHD, you know, and that type of stuff. And then there, that low-income family has an extra check in the home, but it's really detrimental to the child who's on this unnecessary medication. And sometimes that child really needed some discipline. They replaced discipline with medication to control the child. And it's just real unfortunate. And I know those type of things hinder the learning capabilities, because it's the same thing as being on a drug. And something little like that on a drug, that's a shame. You know, but at the same time, I know that these schools are pretty dangerous nowadays. Kids come to school with a knife or a gun. And people are just... it's, you know, the bigger the public atmosphere, the more dangerous nowadays. You know, you can't go to a movie, let alone a school. So even if I had a homeschooling, I don't think I would want it open to the public, because you never know. I don't know what kind of kids these are nowadays. It does all this killing, but I wouldn't want to invite it in my home. If I did homeschooling, it would have to be for my own, you know, or even a relative's child, or my own, or grandchildren or something. But just to invite someone like I did back in the day, allow my neighbor, I just wouldn't trust that stuff nowadays. I don't know what's going on in their home for their children to come off like that, wanting to kill somebody. But public schools, that's all we went to. But things have changed since my days, and that's just unfortunate because things are just not wholesome like they used to be. You know. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Professor.
Go ahead, please.
I look at this homeschooling. Like, for example, you can take it and actually set up a nonprofit organization, and your homeschooling can operate through there, and you could actually generate capital in terms of that, because they give monies to homeschooling, and you could actually have X number of students and make X number of dollars and create for a lot of the parents who are like single parents and are maybe having difficulty going finding work because they have to educate or stay at home with the families. So that's a positive side of it that some people are working around. And, you know, it also, too, you can control some of the problems or dangers, as we understand the some of the viruses from the flus and colds that in the public school is very, very passed on, and it's causing a lot of absentee days and so forth, and that loses money for the school itself. And then you bring in a kid to school and they get sick, and they come home, your home is getting sick. And so it's a more controlled situation from a homeschooling environment. And also, too, there are some things that I know that in homeschooling you can actually get computers and stuff given to you for accelerated learning and those kind of things, which is good. But, you know, again, you can control and balance it out so young people are not just pursuing technology as the only way of learning. Because, unfortunately, this country is using that in a way in the public settings as well as in some of the companies where that I call it like the kingdom of thumbdom, right? The kingdom of thumbdom was that people are using technology so much in terms of the learning method or learning modality, and really the high technology itself makes you dumber in terms of your brain thinking process. And, so a higher priority would be writing and reading and reciting and those kind of things, as opposed to just in the isolated, what I call the AI, artificial intelligent environment. Now, I have a comparison in terms of what I'm looking at, talking about, is I saw it like AI versus NIT, which AI is artificial intelligence, versus natural information transfers. Because the natural information transfers through the senses and the other learning modalities, and especially role models who are emulating it, becomes a very important tool. And together, that will help young people get their GPS mental status focused in terms of their global positioning senses, because you have to give them a global perspective in terms of their sensory perception to tie in what education is about. It's about being competitive and pulling out of the young people and putting it in the young people where they can represent what is a cultural need for specific cultures, communities, society in general, and that's my comments right now.
Well, that's very interesting, and that definitely invite further commentary, and I'm just going to give a quick one myself. Now, first of all, I'm what can be called an educational technologist. I have a master's degree in educational technology. Not to boast. I'm not boasting. I'm just trying to lay that out so you'll know where I'm coming from. And so my scholarship for, I guess, probably the last 14 or 15 years in the academic environment has been to try to understand how technology can be used beneficially to assist students' learning. Many students don't learn well in the traditional manner. Reading, as we know it, that we were trained, those who came through in the school system before automated reading machines, you know, we had to learn how to read. We had to learn how to make the sounds when we saw something on a page, whether it was Dick threw the ball at Spot. We had to understand that these letters put together were signals for us to make certain sounds that were words. But a lot of children don't do very well in terms of grasping those, what I would say, skills. And believe it or not, regardless of what people might want to say, but a lot of African American children don't do very well with English. Now, if they were being taught Chinese or Arabic or one of the African languages, that might be different. But a lot of our children, they end up developing dyslexic tendencies, if not full-blown dyslexia. And I believe a lot of it has to do with the way the English words are constructed. They are confusing, and some children react by having what's apparently some type of malfunction of their learning skills or their minds. So now the educational technologists are saying maybe we shouldn't be trying to teach these children how to read. Maybe we should have machines that will do the reading for them. And as a result, in one of the courses, I teach two American history courses, and in one of the courses, the students don't have to read the textbook. All they have to do is push a button, and AI, as you mentioned, Dr. Mustafa, artificial intelligence, will read the book to them. And I don't have a problem with that, because I'll tell you something. As I get older, my eyes get tired or quicker. The writing is not generally as large as I need it to be to make it easier on my eyes. And I have a program on my computer where I can take a picture of a page in a book, and the iPhone program that I have will convert that into an audio file that will read the page back to me. Almost sounds like a human voice. I can kind of adapt it to make it sound the way I want to. I can even download other voices. And I found out that I could even use my own natural voice and have the device programmed so I'm hearing my own voice if I want to spend an extra few dollars to get that particular edition. My point is this. I'm quite comfortable with having my book read to me. Now, I'll read along just so I won't lose touch with my old-fashioned way of learning, because I've always loved to read books. But I'm finding myself increasingly depending on my machine reading to me. And now the question is, for a 7 or 8 year old child, is that dangerous in terms of equipping that child for a career in the future, when the future probably is going to be based on new kinds of ideas about learning, including technology? What do y'all think?
Yes, I think that that is dangerous. They're skipping over so much of the knowledge, and that's like someone else doing the work. That's very dangerous. I lost my train of thought. It was something else I thought of while you were speaking.
Well, let me say this, Stephanie. There's two sides of the coin, believe me. In educational conferences that are being held today, especially for K-12 educators, and even at the college level, but especially at the K-12 educators, there's definitely two sides of this coin that are being flipped back and forth, and many people agree with you. A lot of people agree with you. In fact, there's some people that lament the fact that cursive writing is not being taught in the schools because cursive writing not only generated a stylish way of presenting your personality, but also it had a real relationship between motor skills in terms of eye-hand coordination as you were making those
curves.
And
they're doing away with it.
And they're doing away with it. So there are a lot of people that are saying we're losing the best part of our culture by taking the physical books out of libraries and converting to digital libraries where everything is on a computer screen. You don't get the feeling of flipping paper pages with your fingers and looking at ink on pages. There's a lot of people that will agree with you, and that's why I wanted to have this conversation. I didn't know to what extent it would evolve into the methodology of teaching in the schools, because I really wanted to focus on the option of homeschooling, but we can talk about that. Does anyone else have an opinion about that? Stephanie's already said she disagrees with it. I'm kind of on the other side of the spectrum because right now I'm doing a doctoral dissertation on immersive learning through virtual reality environments where basically the students will be in a classroom, a smart classroom they call it, where the walls will actually teach them, if you can imagine that. Or
can I please retract? When I disagree with that, I disagree with it for the young children. People college age, when you're booked up with all of those classes and books, I can see something like that.
Okay.
But for younger children who needs to be learning to read and advancing their reading levels and skills, no, they don't need anything like that. They need to actually be reading word for word.
Yes. And that, I'm kind of smiling, Stephanie, not to cut you off, but I'm kind of smiling while you say that because I'm envisioning a family that has a modest-style home, but you have parents who, though they may be in their 30s, they believe in lifelong learning, so now their classes are available where you don't have to, after work, come home, have a quick meal and change clothes and drive 20 miles down the road to a community college to get some additional training, additional education. You can do it all at home online. And I can see where you may have a mother or a father who retires to their own house, smart classroom, a little cove, maybe they constructed their house with the idea in mind that they'd have a not too large but not too small room in there. It would be an immersive, smart classroom, and they're going in there and they're getting all this immersion technology type of input into their brains to learn something. Now the little 7 or 8 year old child, the one like 2 years or two, that's just going to follow mommy into that room and see mommy's going through this experience of these different 3D images coming out of the walls, or mommy putting on these 3D virtual reality goggles, and the child is going to say, "Mommy, what's that? Let me try the goggles on." And, of course, mommy's going to say, "Well, of course you should, you know, enjoy this with mommy. You've got a kid that goes to school and is kind of bored with what you're talking about, which is good, but this child is on a whole different mind level. Yeah, how are you going to stop that? You're not going to be able to stop that because that's the wave that the future is driving us towards."
Professor, I want to say something if I could.
Yeah, of course. Everybody can chime in.
we got to be very careful of cyborg immolation, all right? Because I know personally from reading Think and Grow Rich, authored by Napoleon Hill, and studying the ideas of what Andrew Carnegie conveyed to him as a way to help accelerate the learning curves using visionary thinking, visionary planning, and other things from those perspectives. Because that book has a historical relevance even today, and so the reading of it and the visionary discussions and transforming your visionary visions into a pictorial, that becomes the sensory perceptions, all of them being used, right? So I'm really a proponent of the idea of taking visionary engineering and utilizing that as a basis to bring out the inner interest in each individual young person, and tying it to their goals of a general sense, like, for example, education, for example, science, technology, engineering, and math, all of these different subjects of learning. I believe that we should go in terms of visionary thinking process and put that thinking into paper, into artistic expression and auditory, poetic, learning, and all those kind of things. That's my perspective.
Okay, well, great. Well, I was hoping that we'd have others that would join us. Some of our regulars, for whatever reason, haven't appeared tonight, so we're going to just go ahead and close the show out now, unless somebody has some final comments you want to make. We're just going to do this one-hour show tonight, but you're free if you want to make some closing comments to go ahead, and then we'll just end the show on that. So does anyone want to close out with any final comments? Okay, go ahead, Stephanie.
I would just like to advise any young people that's out there and you have children, if you can't afford to do homeschooling because you work or you're in school yourself, your schedule is too busy, please take the time out and at least help the children at home. It takes them a long way in life. It gives them a giant boost. But if you can do the homeschooling, I would do it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We have, for the benefit of our guests that just joined us again after leaving for a second, we've decided that unless anyone wants to make any further comments, we're going to close out now. But we don't want to leave anybody with words unsaid that they would like to share. And so consequently, if you want to say anything, this is your opportunity. So please chime in if you would like to comment on the topic. Okay, well, great. Well, we thank everyone for having joined us tonight. We look forward to your presence again on next Saturday. While we are looking at the news during the week, we'll be thinking of a great, intriguing topic, something that we can work together to try to solve whatever problem that we might find is facing the Black community of America, at least talk about it. We may not be able to solve it in one or two hour session, but we can certainly enjoy talking about it. Maybe something will come out of it that we can persuade other people to attach themselves to it. Who knows? We could even start a movement. So thanks again for listening. We hope you'll enjoy the rest of this weekend, that your families and you'll be safe. God bless all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.